Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and so much of the sex I had this past year was good that I actually felt so anxious about trying to pick my three favorite encounters for my yearly blog post about that I just like didn't do the blog post. I was just like, I'm not going to do it. I can't pick. I can't decide. It's stressing me out too much. Who are you, friend?
I love that energy. Deeply relatable. I'm Billy. I am a sex educator and porn maker, which means a solid, 40% of the 50% of the best sex of the year I have was on camera. Probably higher, although that ratio is probably also skewed because the sex I had on camera is the sex I remember best. That's the ADHD for you. Yeah.
Well, you stared at it in editing, so...
Exactly. I had it, and then I watched it four times, and then I promoted it on the internet for a while. So I'm, super familiar with that sex, and when it was good, it was great!
I feel like every time I've seen any of your porn, it has really embodied for me the reason that I pretty much exclusively watch amateur porn, the quote-unquote amateur. I mean, that's kind of an outdated term at this point, but yeah. It's just like I want to watch people who are actually attracted to each other fucking in the ways they normally fuck each other. Like, that's just that's the only thing I want to see. And so, I think that that's just, for me, that works so much better than stuff where the people probably met up that day for a one day studio shoot or whatever. No shame in that either, but I just really like the stuff that just feels like they were fucking anyway and they just set up a camera and that's so cute.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of shifting my focus a little bit because I initially thought I had to do more novelty in people I was shooting with. I thought had to be a huge selling point in doing what I do, right? I thought I had to shoot with a lot of different people in terms of exposure and in terms of offering variety to the people I'm to my fans and that sort of thing. And over the course of the year, I realized that the stuff that did best was the stuff that came out with the people that I had the most chemistry with and the people that, frankly, I have the most sex with off camera as well. And it was the stuff that I had the most fun making often. So now I'm shifting my focus this year to really highlight that and include that as a part of my branding and celebrate that the majority of my content is content made with my in real life partner. And the rest of it is with my friends and other plate partners and whatever else you want to call the relationships, because I feel like I do capture that rather well, and I think there are a lot of people who really enjoy that.
Yep, it's true.
Anyway, buy my porn.
Yeah, I don't even know how to segue this to the actual topic of the show, but I guess speaking of sex you've had,
segue, this is an intoxicated episode.
Yeah, a little bit. But so last week we did part one of our year-end episode where we sort of wrap up what we most enjoyed sexually during the year and patterns we noticed and changes we noticed. And we just had so much to say, especially about cum, that we needed to make it a two-parter. And so actually some of the juiciest questions are going to be in this episode about our
goals.
That's
how we get you.
Yes, and about the best sex that we had all year, which is actually the first question. So, what comes to mind for you when I say the best sex that you had this past year?
Okay, well, I already mentioned that, a lot of what I talk about is going to be sex on camera and some of my most popular videos. I think my most popular video this year, and one of my favorites to film, was my first foursome. I mentioned it last episode briefly, but that is absolutely on the list of best sex of the year. The foursome was fantastic, but also the sex I had with Peter and Spittle just while they were visiting off camera in general was really great. They're both really fucking hot. I've had crushes on them both for fucking ever. So I was really excited that I got to actually, we got to hang out in person this year. And I got to fuck them a whole bunch because, once again, really hot. Really hot. And Spittle's I don't know if I want to talk about them fisting me or me fisting them first, because it was both excellent. I like obviously I have to talk about both, but I don't even know what to prioritize.
Have you ever done both of those simultaneously, giving and receiving fisting? Oh my gosh, that's so wild.
I know. So I want to, but I want to get it on camera because like,
yeah,
logistically it's going to be complicated. I also am kind of in the back of my mind have been putting together a list of the trans guys I know who can take fists because the list is getting up there.
The fist list.
And I do, a little bit want to have a trans guy fisting orgy. Because I think I have enough people. So that is the thing I've been thinking about. Because like we could each have fists in each other and also, and anyway, it would be great.
You are hereby invited to Fistmas 2023.
Yes.
We are gathered here today.
We'll do it for International Fisting Day. It'll be great. We just need to somehow get all in the same place. But yeah, that was fantastic, and Spittle is just adorable and a delight to spend time with, and I love him. And anyway, I gotta find a time to see him again sometime this year because we make great porn and also just have great sex and like hang out, and Peter's fantastic, and Peter has such a good dick, you don't understand. like it's such a good dick. I'm not exaggerating when I say at least probably once a week, D and I somehow wind up randomly bringing up how good Peter's dick is and just have a moment of like, God, it's just, it looks good and it feels good and it's just such a good dick. And then move on with
our
life.
By the way, I think that if anyone was curious, there is an episode we did at some point that was just about penises where we probably go into more detail about like what we each would consider to be a good dick. It's very subjective, but it seems like you were in agreement about this.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And like D isn't even a person who generally is like super into cis dudes' dicks. Like, they're not generally super into cis dudes in general, but like, it's rare that they see like just a picture of a cis dude's dick and they're like, you should stick that in me or something. But I could be scrolling Twitter and scroll past one of Peter's tweets and we're just like, hey, pet, look at that. And they're like, wow.
The big exhale is so real.
Wow. Yeah. Do you want to look up and react to a la?
Oh my God.
You're wrong about? I'm going to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's Peter J. Hook.
Peter J. Hook. H-O-O-K-E. This account doesn't exist. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's an E at the end.
Okay, wait. Whoa.
Yeah, it's a good dick.
Whoa, sex toy reviewer brain just came online and was like,
Right?
A manageable girth, wow.
Oh, see, you say that. It's not in your hole. But like...
Well,
no,
it's manageable in the way that like the Vixen Maverick is manageable. Like you could, but you do have to warm up, but like... You can do it if you put your mind to it, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. It is like, yeah, but big enough to feel stretched out for like the average person, I think.
And, is this person going to listen to this episode and just...
Absolutely. Sorry.
I'm concerned. I don't think we've ever done this on a Dildorks episode, just given a live dick rating, but I'm in agreement with you.
Well, here we are. What happened is you asked me about my best sex of the year and... I had to spend 5 minutes talking about Peter Hook's dick. Anyway, maybe you should talk about one of the best sex you had this year, and then I'll go back to literally any of my other stories. Jesus Christ, this is going to be a silly episode or a horny episode.
So messy. Okay.
So much.
All right. Well, since we're talking about things that go in holes, I swear every segue I've done in this episode is just describes our entire show, so I don't know why I'm doing them. So I love my spouse's dick very much. One of my favorite dicks in the universe, in the history of the universe, in fact. But I also really love when they strap on a dick and fuck me with it. Mm-hmm. And this is something I've been doing ever since, like, my very first relationship with a person who had a dick. My very first relationship sexually at all. But, like...
Made more sense then.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I always, like, I remember when I first discovered that sex act of, like, being fucked by a strap-on worn by someone who has their own dick. I was like, I feel like I never hear people talking about this. Like, people should be talking about this more. This is so cool. Because, like, for a variety of reasons, like, you can get, like, different dick sizes and shapes and textures and consistencies than you normally would get in that way. The person can put their thrusting power behind it in a way that's hard to do with just, like, your hand or, like, a harness elsewhere on the body. And it's great for people who, like, want to get their partner off from penetrative sex but, like, can't last that long or have erection issues or anything of that kind of nature. So I've always really enjoyed that. My spouse, MB, is, like, really just excellent strap game. Just, like, really good at, like, reading me and knowing when it's too deep or, like, when it's too hard and stuff like that. And we've been experimenting with different dildos to find, like, the ideal one for this. And the two that we really love, I mentioned one of them last week, which was the Pleasure Tailor, like, collaboration dildo that I did with them. That's, like, an A-spot realistic dildo. And also the Uberime Night King, which is similarly, like, really long and, like, A-spotty.
I think I know which one you're talking about. I've liked the shape of that one. It's got kind really of a good bulbous head, yeah?
It has a pretty, like, intense coronal ridge, which is great for me. And it's got, like, some texture along the shaft, which is nice, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've really
got to get
that
into more fantasy toys this year.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that one's sort of on the border. Like, the shape of it is basically still realistic, but it has enough stuff that makes it fantasy that it's sort of fun looking. Yeah. So yeah, I've really enjoyed that this year. I find that it's much easier for me to get off that way than from PIV. And I really like getting off from PIV, like, with a clit vibe, but, like, don't do it very often because, like, I get stressed out that my partner's, like, trying to last for that. And, like, they sometimes might feel stressed out about that as well. So, like, it's just it's easier if I can just, like, take the strap and come that way. And it feels very similarly, like, intimate and fun.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds that's excellent. I'm just like, I love strap-ons.
I know.
I love them so much. And I'm also curious what the process of, like, learning to wear a strap when you're used to fucking with factory installed bits versus learning to wield a strap when you're not. Because there are certainly hurdles to, like, learning to thrust as the penetrative partner versus the receptive partner, because the thrusting motion is different and, like, the cadence is a little different, whatever. Like, I'm curious, like, and I don't know that there is any one person who has learned both experiences and can compare them, you know, but, like, how weird it is to learn to thrust at, like, a slightly different angle or with, like, or to, like, when you can sort of feel, but not quite feel, because I can feel my strap on more than I think I would have expected to before I started fucking people with one. Like, if it's quite firmly against my body, I can feel how deep it is in someone or, like, how tight they are because of how much resistance is coming out and things like that, which, like, I wouldn't have expected if I hadn't strap on fucked people a lot. Anyway, the many things I'm musing over while you're telling me all of this.
Did you have another fucking best weirdo sex story for us?
I did. I have so many. I had so much good sex this year. Thank you for dealing with the silly version of me. Hang on one second. All right. So the rest of the best sex of the year, some of it was on camera. All of it was with D, unsurprisingly. I mean, D was in the foursome and much of, though not all of, the sex I had with Peter and Spittle. But, like, who, by the way, are fantastic. I'm not falling down that rabbit hole again, though. I've already remembered three things I didn't even tell you about how great they are. But I'm not doing it. We're not doing it. Okay, so the one that is a full video was actually a part of my favorite videos bundle that I sent out at the end of the year last year. It had that foursome in it, and it also had this bound face fucking video that Dee and I did, where, and like many of my favorite videos, we had this idea while in the middle of fucking the night before. and they were... We were in a face fucking phase at that time. They were spending a lot of time. Listen, I think everyone goes through their phases of what like standard sex looks like that these days.
No, I get what you mean exactly. Yeah. It's a funny phrase.
Anyway, face fucking was trendy in our relationship at that time, and so they were sitting on my face, and I think I had the blanket over me so that it was like over my arms and their legs were on the outside of the blanket and outside my arms. So I was kind of mummified by my own weighted blanket, right? While they were fucking my face, which is hot. and then, so we decided that they were going to bind me for a video, and we did just like a full body tie very, very quickly. Not the best bondage we've ever done. But did the job, held me in place, and we tied a wand to my bits and had them fuck my face. And that was very, very good. That was a great time. Really enjoyed that. and kind of exemplifies a trend towards getting to be like a fuck toy for them in general, which I've been doing a lot more of lately, whether it's them fucking my face or like strapping on and fucking me, which like... I'm really enjoying and excited to see where it goes. Brief pause for a few weeks while they recover for top surgery, because if you have seen any of our videos, you understand that they cannot fuck me like that right now. That would be a hazard to them. It's aggressive.
Yeah, it is athletic.
Involves some cardio and shit, yeah. Do you have another best sex of the year story?
Yeah, when I was re-listening to last year's episode, one of the things I had said in that episode was that I had been struggling to come from oral that year, which is something I really like to do, but it's just really rare. Like, my sensitivity level is at a point where, like, it's pretty hard to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And this year, we managed to make it happen a fair bit. I learned a couple things that I think are important for me for this. I mean, I already kind of knew these, but like implementing them more consistently, I think that sounded so nerdy. made for like a higher orgasm ratio. One of them is like fantasizing.
It didn't get less nerdy.
I know. It's just, I can't stop. That's okay. Yeah, fantasizing is really huge for me with oral. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I'm used to getting off from, like, maybe a dildo and a vibe, which is, like, a lot of stimulation physically. And, like, fantasizing helps, but, like, I don't always need to do it in that situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas with oral, like, it really, really helps a lot. And as I mentioned last week, one of the things I've been noticing is, like, just – how much more comfortable I feel having fantasies that are sort of like forbidden or taboo or like about people I shouldn't be fantasizing about, quote unquote, or whatever. So like just letting my mind wander, and it'll just be weird situations. And remembering porn scenes I've seen and whatever. And I've just like really learned to sort of let go of self-judgment about any of that, especially because my partner is like very encouraging of me fantasizing because they want me to come. The other thing,
wild.
The other thing is introducing some kind of penetration. This really helps me. My partner is very good with their fingers, which I don't even understand. How do you get your fingers on the A spot, which is very deep, and B, going down on somebody at the same time? That just seems so hard to me. I have a hard time imagining how I would even do that and maintain the rhythm. But they're very good at that. And we also like the hole punch fluke, which is the kind of like vag plug that I've talked about many times. It's one of my favorite toys. And the other one I really like for this is the Crystal Delights Star Delight, which is a glass dildo. It's like a pretty plain glass dildo. It has a little bit of texture on it. And it's totally straight, like no curve. But something about it being glass and the way that the base is shaped, it just like doesn't get in the way of oral, and it's easy for them to sort of tilt it with one hand and thrust it into the A spot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it seems like it's comparatively low effort for them compared to like a lot of other dildos we could be using for that. So
that makes, I really sense. Like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've just had an easier time coming from oral. It's still really hard for me. It's still like a special occasion thing. But
right, but still improvement, and that's nice to see.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. Do you have one more story for us?
Yeah. So this third one is technically on camera, but it is on my hard drive. About 5 minutes of it is released out in the world. But a mutual friend of ours, and ours, actually, D and ours, but you know them as well, got an ambulance this year that they are converting into a
shaggin' wagon.
Kind of. I'm forgetting the word for the RV, I guess is the word. I was like, the apartment with the wheels on it. It's a house that drives. It's like gonna a have a bed,
but not a boat, a car,
but a houseboat for the roads. I don't right. fully couldn't get it anyway. Because of their disability, sometimes, or a lot of hotels can be difficult for them, and it can be difficult to predict which hotels they're going to be able to stay in or which Airbnbs are going to be accessible to them. So they got themselves an ambulance that they're converting into a space that they can stay in. Anyway, all of that is to say, I had access to a not yet broken down ambulance. So I made porn in it, because that's what you do. We had all of, like, it was, like, the weekend before a trip, I think, or, like, we had all of, like, 4 hours in an afternoon that we could squeeze in to make time to make this work. And we, like, scrambled together kind of a story and kind of costumey stuff and rushed over there and made this thing and had really excellent sex where I strapped down to, there wasn't a stretcher in there, unfortunately, but there was still one of the benches and some straps, so I strapped them down, and they, like, fought back and struggled, and oh no, and I fucked them with the Android 11, I think, and some other things, and I think I got some quite good camera angles, and I made them come a whole bunch, and then frantically cleaned up the ambulance and came home, and watched the footage afterwards, and it was, like, quite good, but there was also, like, quite a bit of struggling, and the internet doesn't tend to respond so well to that generally with me. I mean, the people on the internet love it, but the credit card companies don't so much. So it makes it hard for me to sell pretty much anywhere. And I was just too nervous that it was going to be a problem that I never even really got around to editing it. Mm-hmm. What I did edit was the, like, 5 minute long blowjob from when we got back home, because we had to, like, rush, because the person, I think, who whose ambulance it was having company or something too, so we had to, like, not be fucking in the ambulance when that happened, and, like, rush back out or whatever. Uh-huh. So anyway, we made it back home, and I, like, we to the whole scene, and we got back home, and I was like, yeah, no, my pants were on that whole time. I did a lot to you. My dick, very still hard, incredibly still hard. You should suck it, maybe. So I have a POV of them sucking my dick, and at the time, it was, like, the hardest and the biggest I had ever gotten on camera, like, or the biggest I had seen my dick. I do not know if that is still true, because occasionally testosterone does me favors and my dick still gets bigger sometimes. So I don't know. That was, you know, half a year or more ago. But at the time I could watch that footage and be like, holy shit, my dick is huge. Notice how I couch that language and try to not oversell it. 'Cause it's like, I don't know, my dick might be bigger now. No big deal or anything. Anyway, go look at my dick on the internet, billylore.com.
You're so good at sales.
That's what I do.
So next we're going to talk about our sex goals from last year. And usually I listen and write down what they were, and you don't know what they were. So let's talk about some of yours. one of your professional goals for last year was to teach 60 times in the year. Did you do that?
Probably not. I did fairly consistently teach every week, but there were times where I like traveled and things. So 60 would have been slightly more than every week, and I don't think I averaged quite that, but I did get on a consistent teaching schedule, which I am quite happy with.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to do more rope. I think you did that, right?
I did a bit more rope. It is on my list again this year. I did more than I have ever done before. I still have not made it like a regular part of my kink practice in the way that I would hope to, or that I do hope to at some point, and the way that I think that I will, frankly, because like every exposure I have to it, I'm like, wow, this feels really great and well suited to many of the things that I really love about kink. So, like, I have tiptoed further into that. I did not rush into that in the way that I wanted to, but we'll get there.
Also, kind of a rope thing. You said that you wanted to release 7 or more, especially kinky scenes, possibly including some featuring rope.
I didn't get around to filming many more kinky scenes. I think I had, like, 2 or 3 more. It is, again, a thing I would like to do more of, but the opportunities didn't so much present themselves, and it's not worth putting the energy behind unless I know it's going to be particularly good because, again, they're hard to release.
Yeah, true. You said that you were hoping to get DP'd on camera, preferably during a gangbang.
No, and it's on my list again this year, and I'm going to talk about it again in a few minutes, and one day I'm going to get 2 dicks in my fucking hole, goddammit.
You touched on this. You said you wanted to shoot in more interesting or unique locations.
Yeah, I did that, I think. More is such a blurry term, so I'm going to give myself credit for it. I did shoot in some interesting and unique locations, and I made my apartment more interesting and unique, so, like,
it's true.
That's credit,
too.
It looks
yeah. great. Loving the Thanks. Backdrop.
Real proud of it.
A couple more things. You said you wanted to explore submission more.
That's on my list this year, too. Wow. I just We're just going to listen. 2022 threw a lot at me, and I'm really just starting 2023 being like, you know what? Take 2. We'll go try all that again.
Sometimes you need to just, like, take a running leap, like, do it, try it again. Just give yourself more time.
Exactly.
And the last thing you had mentioned is you were thinking about possibly maintaining a scene journal.
Ooh, didn't do that. No. No. Would be nice, though. Would make this part of the year a lot easier.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. Pass me.
Like, I've thought about it too. Like, obviously, I've done the spreadsheet thing, but like, I could also journal or what, like, have other ways of documenting, which would make this part easier. But like, I don't know. To me, that's like not enough of an incentive to want to do it. So,
yeah. I did buy a teeny tiny little leather book from a little shop in Venice when I was in Italy. From a very nice lady in a, like, it's like a little hand-bound leather thing in a whole shop full of, like, handmade leather stuff. It was very cute, so I had to own it. It's so special that there is nothing special enough to put in it. It's one of those situations. And the only idea I've had so far is making it almost like a scene yearbook and putting, like, a little story of not every scene, but, like, the particularly special scenes that I have had, writing a little story about them, and then also letting, like, the other people in the scene, like, write a little note in there about something or sign it or whatever. Yeah, like, to, like, commemorate, like, oh, this is what we both thought about this thing at the time that it happened.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. I haven't done it yet. I haven't had many scenes since buying it that I was, like, particularly excited about. I haven't had many scenes since buying it, frankly. Yeah, I might do something like that moving forward, where it's not like I have to document everything, but, like, I do have a place to save those memories, because I don't like having a brain that is sometimes a sieve.
Yeah. My goals for last year, one of them was I wanted to rediscover masturbation as like a non-work activity, like an activity that could be relaxing for me and that I would be focusing on like the actual pleasure and not making notes in my head for a sex toy review constantly. Because I really had not been jerking off for myself hardly at all. I do think I got better at this year, but not quite in the ways that I was imagining, I think, because like usually what this looked like for me this past year was like I would get done with my work early at maybe like 3 p.m. and then I would get high and like start reading or watching videos or whatever to try to relax, and then the weed would kick in and I would be like, oh, I'm kind of turned on, and then I would just like very quickly jerk off with like my hand and some porn basically. And I think I was envisioning more of like a self-care, like lie in the bath and rose petals and waterproof vibrators or whatever. But like that was not really how it ended up happening. But like baby steps, like, yeah, you know, that's better than I was doing. So that's okay.
Exactly.
I wanted to infuse more spirituality into my masturbation and more masturbation into my spirituality. Not quite sure I really did that. And I don't know that that's like a huge priority for me now anyway. Like I do think that my spirituality is really important to me and I do want to do more of that. Like that's kind of always one of my New Year's resolutions. But like I don't know. I don't feel a strong pull to like connecting that with sex or masturbation in particular. And then my last goal from last year was to make stress reduction a priority so that I could have better sex. I do think I did a decent job of that this year. Like I have been taking Wednesdays off work when I can and have like really been trying to get better at like not shaming myself or feeling bad for resting and doing self-care. I just read this great book called Laziness Does Not Exist that everybody should read.
It's next on my list. I'm reading Unmasking Autism by the same author and I adore them. They're fantastic.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think you're really going to like the other one as well because, yeah, it just really changed my life and my perspective.
Unmasking Autism is phenomenal. I mean, like, cool. I was probably autistic and reading the book. I'm like, yeah, thanks. That's rude, but fine. Sure.
All right.
Rude of you to be surveilling me and talking about me like this in a book, but it's fine.
So let's talk about our sex and kink goals for the coming year. Maybe we can go back and forth one each to talk about these.
Okay.
What's one of yours?
So this was on last year's, exploring my submission more, because it is a thing that I had like stepped away from for a little bit, and definitely want to get back to, but also just kink as a hobby in general again. I think about kink a lot in my teaching and a lot in this podcast and occasionally in the porn that I do. But I haven't done it recreationally all that much and encouraged that drive and that curiosity and that like my drive for kink, I guess, if you want to call it, like my cravings to get beaten or my cravings for power exchange or that sort of thing were always more than my cravings for sex anyway. Cravings for sex are generally just using sex as a tool for power or pain or whatever other things. I want to foster that desire, I guess, for lack of a better term, in me again and start exploring that again and see what that feels like on me now. Because frankly, this gender hasn't done much submitting. And like I'm recognizing more and more now how much part of my move towards toppiness was also a gender thing and needing to feel like the toppy boy thing to affirm a gender I wasn't quite comfy with yet. And I'm pretty cozy in what my gender is now. I'm pretty cozy in whatever you want to call this flavor of masculinity I like to wear. and part of that includes being a subby little faggot. So I'm excited to see what that looks like in the coming months. On camera, certainly, too, but a lot in my personal life, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
My kind of big one for this year is I want to be more mindful/present during sex. I've talked a lot on this show about like how I don't think dissociation during sex is always bad, like especially with regard to stuff like subspace or intoxication play. Mm-hmm. And I do still really enjoy both of those things, but I also think that I could stand to be more in my body even while doing stuff like that. Like I think that going through the trauma therapy process, which I'm still in the middle of, is like really challenging me with regards to my relationship to my body and my sexuality. And sometimes the way that I deal with that is just by kind of not being in my body that much. And like, I don't really want to do that. Like, I find that I'm just more prone to having sexual experiences that I feel weird about if I'm doing that too much for my personal comfort level.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I want to work on that. And like one thing that I'm thinking about in like what in terms of what might help me with that is I want to start a walking meditation practice because like I need to get out of the house more often anyway. And I'm really interested in mindfulness and kind of like Zen ideas, but struggle with like just regular meditation. I usually fall asleep. I'm just a sleepy person. So I was like, maybe walking meditation is the way to go. And like, you know, not listening to a podcast or music like would normally be my thing, and like not on my phone, but just like walking and just like noticing my body and the things around me. And maybe that would help me get better at like doing that during sex also.
Yeah, I could totally see that being helpful. And that makes a lot of sense. Excited to see how that goes.
Thank you. What's next on your list?
Another one from last year and probably the year before that and possibly even the year before that. I want to get fucking DP'd on camera by like preferably two factory installed dicks. Two straps also probably great. Getting DP'd by two factory installed dicks would remain on the list, I think, though. The problem is the thing that I like... One of the core things I find especially hot about it is the two dicks feeling each other through me, right? Because, like, the wall between front and back holes real thin, right?
Yeah.
And, like, there's just... do you remember... Did I send you a picture of that masturbation sleeve that had two holes in it? Two folks. So you could stroke two dicks at the same time. Anyway, I want to be that. I would like to be that sex toy when I grow up.
I just saw yesterday a photo of a chastity cage for two dicks where they're facing each other.
Yes! I saw one of those.
Amazing. Perverts are just so, so amazing.
Chastity cages always make me, like, are one of the... many things that make me wish that I had a dick, but like that chastity cage in particular, I felt it in my soul. I was like, oh, just think how mean people, anyway. Yeah. So yeah, I want to get DP'd on camera. I want to get DP'd by two dicks. I want it to be on camera because I'm an exhibitionist and I want to be able to watch it afterwards. Like, the problem with wanting to do so many of these things in my personal life is like, oh, I want it to be, you know, about me and the people I'm excited about doing this with. And like, you know, have like focus on and what it feels like and things. I don't want it to be about work, but like, I'm an exhibitionist and the hottest version of this is the version that I get to watch later on and that I know that I look really good during. So, you know, we have a dilemma. But for a special occasion fucking like that, I certainly want it on camera. I'd also love to just do some sort of group sex gangbang, that transfisting orgy I was talking about, or maybe a birthday gangbang for myself at some point, probably near my birthday, not at some point in the year. Some sort of more group sex situations because I really love them and they're fun to film.
I wish that for you. Wishing you DP in 2023.
Thank you. We're gonna try. Anyway, speaking of Peter and his excellent dick. Hey, come back to the East Coast.
The next thing on my list is do more psychedelic trips with the goal of improving my relationship to my sexuality and my body, etc. I've been doing solo shrooms trips for the past year. They've been part of my like trauma healing process. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading this book right now, actually, that's really good, called The Promise of Psychedelics. That's like written by a psychiatry professor and psychiatrist about like which psychedelics he thinks are the best ones for like mental health purposes. And shrooms are his top pick in terms of like risk level versus possible positive results. And I've had a really good experiences with them for the most part. So I'm kind of pondering like how to focus trips on those topics if I want to approach them, because like a lot of times when I trip, I will watch like kids movies or like movie musicals, like things that are like really gentle and don't have a lot of like conflict or violence in them, because that's kind of what I need. So I'm thinking about like, well, what sexual media or like media that sort of is in that direction would be soft and gentle enough that it wouldn't freak me out? Because like I'm not gonna watch the porn I would normally watch. I feel like that would freak me out on shrooms. So I don't know, I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, I think that's really great, and like I'm excited to see where you're able to go with that. I know a lot of people who have had really great experiences with shrooms. I've tried them a couple of times and I haven't noticed anything from them until the next day, when I feel like pretty much all the dopamine and happy chemicals have been squeezed out of my brain. So it's generally not a great time for me, but like I said, I know a lot of people who have had really great experiences with them. So like I'm excited to see what you learn, and hopefully one day I figure out a way to dabble in that and that works slightly better for me, but we'll see.
Yeah,
well, speaking of, I guess, slightly more cinematic porn, I am, one of my like work and arts goals this year is to do more videos that require like slightly higher production, whether it's high enough production that I'm able to get like a couple of people working on it and other people filming me instead of tripods and things like that, right? Or if I'm doing like more solo role plays with just like better sets and better scripts and that sort of thing. I feel like I spent a lot of time this year learning the basics of like, what angles do I like filming myself out and photographing myself at? And how do I like posing on camera and modeling for things? And like, what kind of content does well for me? Like, I got a lot of building blocks. And this year I'm excited to start to experiment with like, all right, well, what can I do that's interesting and new from here? Like, I'm a movie and TV nerd on like it in my free time. Like, I want to bring some of that stuff into the porn I make and the storytelling and all of that, and play with that and see what I can come up with. So that's something I'm really looking forward to in this next year.
Cool. That's fun.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. Also really vulnerable and terrifying, because like it means working extra hard on a thing that is fully a shot in the dark if it'll be successful.
Because
right now the stuff that I am best at doing and most practiced at doing is the stuff that I do often because it does well. So these are always a bit of a roll of the dice and a bit terrifying, but I want to do more of it.
Good. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt doing my songwriting challenge this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. It went so well for you, though, and you're still writing, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. Okay, next on my list, I want a bottom for anal sex. I haven't done this in 5 or 6 years.
Jesus, it's really been that long?
Yeah, wow. It's just, I mean, when I say anal sex, I mean having a dick in my ass.
Yeah.
I've done other butt stuff since then.
I remember that.
My partner and I negotiated, I don't even remember when we did this, but we agreed that my ass is exclusively for them. like, you know, we might renegotiate that at some point in the future. I don't know. But, like, that's just, to me, that was, like, more almost logistical because, like, it's just so unlikely that I would do any butt stuff with a more casual partner anyway. Right.
Might as well make it about power exchange and make it a little horny. That's fun.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hot. It's intimate. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't, I don't know. I haven't been able to, I mean, I should say my spouse, like, their dick is, like, pretty big. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of nervous mm-hmm. about it for that reason. I think it might be bigger than either of the other two dicks that I had taken there previously. I'm hoping to be able to get more into it and maybe do, like, an anal training regimen is something we talked about at one point.
And you can start with them strapping on stuff smaller and work your way up.
True. Too. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a good intermediary step. I was just sent, do you say for the sex toy company, do you say Anaros or Aneros?
I usually say Aneros, I think.
Okay. I've never known which one is correct, but anyway, they have a new enema that they've just made, like nice silicone enema bulb.
Nice.
And they sent me one of those. And because my enema that I had been using was like porous and gross and I should really just throw it away. So I'm excited about that. That makes me feel, you know, more hyped up about anal. So
yeah. You're just setting me up for these perfect segues because anal is also on my list.
Okay.
Well, whole training in general is on my list. Because I meant this mostly for anal, but also for my throat, actually. Because I suck dick so rarely these days, or dick that isn't T-dick at least, so rarely these days, that, like, my deep throating skills are pretty rusty. and it's also been a minute since I've stuck something in my ass. And when I was younger, weird that I'm even old enough to be saying that about my sex life now, but fine. when I was younger, it was a lot easier to take things in my ass. It, like, my holes tended to be pretty flexible and forgiving, and I didn't tend to need a ton of warm-up for anal. And now that I'm in my 30s, it, like, takes the reasonable amount of warm-up that I have been teaching people for years anal takes, and that they should be willing to put in, and that they should be patient and use lots of lube and do this several times over the course of over many sessions, and I hate it. It's dumb.
I know.
I'm like, what do you mean? But why? Why do I have to?
That's the exact problem I have is, like, I think just, like, being a sex person, like, sex media maker for so long, there is a part of me that always is like, well, I know everybody else has to do that, but, like, I want to speed it up. How can I, like, there's got to be a way, right? There's got to be a cheat code.
And it used to be fine for me. Like, it used to be... So now I'm just like, ugh, fine. But now we're just like the normal people. I don't know what happened to our super butthole, but whatever. so anyway, that's annoying on the one hand. On the other hand, it means things like size training are challenging and occasionally painful, which is hot because, like, I was never super into anal unless the person I was playing with was very into it. Because I never dislike it, but we just did all that whining about how much effort it can be. And, like, if I'm horny enough to be considering fucking my ass, the thing is my cunt is, like, right there open and like, hey, but what if you fucked me instead? But what if we could, yeah. I'm just right here, pre-lubricated. Look at all that. We'll be fine. It's fine. And, like, it's just, I don't ever have the patience for butt stuff. But if it is part of, like, a training thing that someone is telling me to do or that I am doing as part of a DS thing with us, you know, whatever, even if it is for, like, a particular scene or something, like, that is fun and hot, and if I have someone to talk to it about, and, like, that sort of thing. So I would love to, even if that someone is just the internet, and I make an anal training series of videos that a lot of people are excited about, or something, right? Mm-hmm. It just has to be a little collaborative for me, but the process of trying to push my body slightly past its limits is always hot for me, and it is kind of exciting that my limits got so much closer now, and it is so much easier to push my body slightly past its limits. So I'm hoping for an opportunity to explore that in a new way this year. Also, butt stuff makes me way more embarrassed than it used to. Mm. And bashful in a way that seems really fun and easy to exploit in a kinky way.
Yeah, I feel that.
Because in my brain, I'm like, there's no taboo around butt. It's butt stuff. I don't have any taboo there anywhere. But something in my body is just like, oh, don't touch my butt. There's poop there. Don't. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It's dirty. So I should eroticize that because that's fun.
Definitely.
All right. What's last on your list? Last? Next? I don't know.
Yeah, my last one on my list is I want to do some sounding.
Mm.
My partner got some sounding equipment, I think like a couple years ago or something, and we've used it a few times. I think that I've only used it in person maybe once, but like I've like dommed them into doing it on camera for me, which is fun and like also fun. Helps because I have a lot of anxiety about fucking that up.
Like, yeah, it's just terrifying. Seems
like there's a high risk of like messing shit up, but like I want to be able to do it. It's just something that I'm pretty freaked out by because I have no confidence in myself and my abilities.
And it's also the kind of thing that seems like it's easier to do if you can feel it on your own body than to do to someone when you can't, you know.
Yeah, I just think it would be a really fun thing to have in my tool belt for when I'm being more dominant, because it's just like hot. You're just like penetrating a dick. Like, oh, that's so cool. That's really cool. It is really cool. I wish that it didn't scare me so much, but maybe it's kind of good. Maybe it's healthy that I'm a little bit freaked out by it.
I think that is a sign of healthy respect to the activity, you know?
Yeah.
I think if you weren't a little scared of it, I would be slightly more worried about you doing it, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because it is a delicate process that requires close attention.
Yep.
You know?
More sounding 2023.
Yeah. And also, terrifying can be hot.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm scared of it in a slightly hot way. Different episode, though.
All right, so you're going to close us out with one more goal?
Yeah, last one. The last one on my list is edging and orgasm control. It's not a new thing that I want to explore. It's an old favorite. I just like it, and I want more more of it. It's no surprise. Like, I just talked for a whole while about why control makes things fun, and I like orgasms. So I would like to bring that back around, and it ties back into what I was talking about in terms of like submission as well. That is a really easy way for me to feel. And one of my favorite ways to hand control to a person, and like a relatively low stakes way for me to hand control to a person, give them the choice of whether I come or not. So yeah.
You also topping for that?
Yeah. Not nearly as much though. It is kind of an empathetic topping when I do that, wherein it is hot for me. It was a phrase a friend of mine gave, and oh gosh, I'm forgetting who introduced it to me, but it was brilliant. Because it's basically the idea that, like, no, I get off on knowing how hot it is to hear someone say that to you. Yeah. I like bottoming to that thing. I'm proud of myself for coming up with that idea. It is hot to me to imagine someone saying that to me, and I'm going to say it to you, and I like giving you that experience because I like you, and oh, look, your reaction's cute.
Yep.
Not quite the same as someone doing it to me, which is just hot on its face.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of The Dildorks. This has been a really fun and silly one. I've been Kate Sloan. You can find me online at katesloan.com. My books are 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do and 200 Words to Help You Talk About Sexuality and Gender. I write a weekly newsletter at katesloan.email. I also just recently wrote and released a song about threesomes, which you can find on my YouTube, or you can look on my media tab on my Twitter at girly_juice. It's a cute, fun ukulele song about having threesomes. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Billy. You can find all my porn and information about my workshops and everything else I do over at billylore.com. I'm also on Twitter at billylore and on Instagram at billylore_, so come hang out with me over there. Together we are the Dildorks. We're at thedildorks.com and on Twitter and Instagram at thedildorks. We are also at patreon.com/thedildorks, where you can toss a couple of bucks our way, get access to our exclusive Discord for $6 a month, or our Patreon-only bonus episodes for $12 a month. Coming up, we'll probably talk more about great sex I had this year because my list was too long, and I had some run over. I'm sure I will have other great sex to add to the list by the time we record the next one. Anyway, they're great. Come hang out with us. It's a good time.
I want to say thank you to our top tier Patreon supporters, Stabitha, Christie, Amy, Nat, Amelia, MB, and Argo. We really appreciate your support. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song, to Amy, who did our logo, and thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Also, your threesome song is excellent. I've listened to it a couple of times. And also, like, I listened to it and I'm like, wow, yeah, her voice is great. Like, I knew that, but, like, her voice is particularly great. And then I played it for and said that to them, and they were like, I was just thinking, I always forget how great her voice is. So anyway, it's a good song.
Thank you. That's so nice. You're good at what you do. It's, thank you. I enjoyed writing that one.
Yeah.
I feel like it accurately captures every threesome I've ever been in. Like,
right, yeah.
It's just like every line is like a different like problem or something that you encounter in a threesome.
Yeah. I would definitely say I've had other, like, slightly other flavors of threesomes as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no, it encapsulated a style of threesome I am incredibly familiar with and, like, placed me in that feeling immediately. You know what? And, like, yeah. not solid 60 to 70% of my threesomes have fallen in that category, you know? But, like,
yeah,
no, it just really captures the vibe quite well.
Thank you. I was channeling my inner Rachel Lark. Oh, fuck. But I have another bloop I want to tell you, but we're so late.
I don't care.
I was watching. Okay. I was watching Sex and the City, and there's a character who, like, definitely has ADHD. Like, they were not using that language back then, but he definitely does.
This is the guy who's dating one of the girls. I don't have to watch Sex and the City. I'm reading your thread and staying very up to date. I know the whole show now.
Yeah. He was briefly dating Carrie. She broke up with him ultimately, kind of because of this. But like,
but he's still in the show?
No, he's not around anymore. It's sad. Okay.
I was gonna say I thought they just showed up for this.
Yeah. It's classic Sex and the City. It's just like someone's in for like two or three episodes and then they're gone. But yeah, so he definitely has ADHD, and like the funniest things he did were like, I did tweet these, but I'll just say them for the podcast.
Yes.
He like shows up at her apartment late at night with like a bottle of bourbon, and he's like, I have bourbon and I want to go down on you and I don't care in what order. And it's really hot. And then the next day,
that's fantastic.
When they wake up the next day, he like wants to go make her coffee, and he's like, don't worry, I'll get it. I'll go make coffee. And then like a minute later, she like hears him playing the banjo in the living room, and he's just like completely forgotten about the coffee and is just playing the banjo. And that is kind of where she draws her line, where she's like, I don't think I can deal with this.
And I'm like, you know, that's a deeply relatable energy, especially, listen, I'm a sim. If I walk out of one room and into another, the slate of things that I had planned to do has a chance of just completely wiping. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes they just all go away. Doorways are magic, man.
They are. Okay, let's probably do the actual show.
Probably maybe start a podcast.
Yes. This is an intoxicated episode now. I wasn't really intending to go that far with it, but whatever. I was like in sufficient pain that I was like, I think that's the way to go. So.
This is a good episode for that energy, right?
It's true. I think it'll be good.
Him and his partner that he lives with are best friends with another couple, another rope couple that live nearby. Mm-hmm. One of the people in that couple just applauded the story, being like, yeah, no, I'm going to come down soon and I'll text you to, like, plan a thing. And I'm just like, all these people being like, yes, come here. And I'm like,
a wild rope orgy. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah. I mentioned most of the sex. I'm going to take that one more time.
Okay. Is that?
You said you didn't have any others, right?
I don't have any others. Do you have another one?
No.
Okay. And you're still recording.
I do. Can I tell you? Yeah, I'm looking at it. Can I tell you what my other one is for the bonus episode before the bonus episode?
Okay.
Did I tell you I fucked D on a plane?
What? No.
I did.
That's, wow, okay.
I know, I forgot, they reminded me. That was fun.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to hearing that story in the book.
Yeah, it was a good time. Be an adventure.
Maybe I'll leave that in the bloops as a teaser.
I was figuring, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I suck dick so rarely, well, sick that...